Blog Talk Radio. Grace and Peace, Heart to Heart, encourages women from all stations of life and from every nook and cranny of our world from a biblical perspective.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Grace and Peace, Heart to Heart. This is going to be a special broadcast as we deviate a little bit in recognition of this particular crucial weekend, starting with Thursday, but tonight, Good Friday, going on into Sunday, which we set aside for the remembrance on the Christian calendar and actually even the world's calendar for the resurrection commemoration of the Lord Jesus Christ, known to many as Easter and to others as Resurrection Sunday. I've entitled this episode, Easter, A Reminder of Grace and Peace. And I'd like to start off by reading some excerpts from Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Folks, that's grace. You know, even the title of this podcast, Grace and Peace, there could be no peace without grace. Many take the word grace and give it the acronym, meaning God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. Nothing I can do, nothing you can do, so that no one can boast. I'd like to just turn for a moment back to Isaiah. And picking up in the 7th verse, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Why? Why? I submit it was for him to be the substitute for every individual's personal separation from God, defined by a three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Grace extends us peace, but we must receive it. I liken it to a special meal that's been prepared for us, ours until we receive it and consume it. It's there for us, designated expressly for us. But if I make a meal for a friend or a loved one and walk away, it's my friends or my loved ones. But it really doesn't belong to them as a part of them until they partake. Imagine, if you would, this scene. Two mountains, one facing each other. One on the left side of a river and one on the right side of a river. And this river is wide, a wide, expansive, billowing river. And it does have a bridge going from one side to the other, but it's high up, high up. And it's suspicious looking because it's old and tattered. But think about that. How am I going, if I need to get from one side to the other, will I get on that bridge? I can't swim. So let's say that one mountain represents God and the other mountain represents you. The river represents Jesus Christ. Your mountain is full of all sorts of wild animals and many traps that have been set to catch them. You want to get to the other side, to God, where there's peace and where there's not necessarily peace every second, but there is peace there and there is beauty there. And there is no danger there. But again, you can't swim, and you're not sure about the bridge's reliability. You think, and you think, and you think, and you think, until you come to the point of decision that you will take the first step, and then the next. Much like this example, God will meet you where you are with his grace and your step of faith. This Easter is a great time to ask him to forgive you of your sin and to be your Savior. In fact, he's made the provision. It's there for you, but you have to embrace it. For by grace, are you saved through faith? It's your gift. If you could take the step of faith, even if you doubt, just be honest and let him know that you doubt. That's exactly what I had to do many decades ago. I wasn't sure. But by the grace of God, only the grace of God, did I step out even in my doubt. And in making that step, I came to learn in my head how much God loves me, but experientially. And folks, he loves you just as much. Just as much. Remember, he even died for you to release you and me from the debt of sin. So Easter, as gruesome as some think it is, and it was a bloody mess, him being nailed to the cross, him having thorns pressed upon his head, blood streaming down, people spitting on him, mocking him, and he did it for me, and he did it for you. And from that, the triumph came when he rose again from the dead. I can't explain it. And you know what? I don't even want to try to explain it. Because I know personally from experiencing him that he lives. Because he lives, I can face anything in this world that I need to face. I've faced many things. Things that I know I would not have been able to handle were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, my Savior, my friend, and he can be yours as well if he is not already. So I wish you a good Friday. I wish you a happy Easter and a happy Resurrection Sunday. And perhaps you will experience this to be the very best Easter you have lived to this point. Next time we're together, I will resume the reading of Shattered Vows. Thank you, everyone. Bye for now.